On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
Welcome to another edition of Tall Can Sports. Oh, I tried to let it breathe there for a second because that's normally where Rob opens his beer. Missed his fucking cue.
Wait, am I alone over here?
Normally I just trample all over it, and then you give me that.
Yeah, well, you know what I think I said. You know what? Forget that guy. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, yeah, okay. There's something to that. How's it going?
You know what, my friend? It's dynamite. It's a lovely fall day. I'm loving it, man.
All right.
What about you? I never ask you.
You never care. It just doesn't care enough.
It's true, but it suddenly occurred to me after.
That was the wrong button.
However many shows we've done here that, yeah.
Not once have I given a shit how your day might be going. But today you've asked, and it's pulled me back from the ledge that I was prepared to jump from.
Well, you know what? I sense that. I got a good sense of that early. And here we are. So what's on your mind?
Well, there was a couple of places I thought we could start, but the most interesting one to me was there's something about this year's Hockey Hall of Fame class that there's a lot of leftovers.
Okay, you know what? That is absolutely where I'm at with this.
Okay.
This is a class of people who go, yeah, sure.
Well, so why don't we start with the most obvious one or what should... Should Eric Lindros, should he be viewed as a fucking leftover? Should he be had to wait 6 years, I believe it is, in his case? Now, Rogie Vachon, I believe, waited 21.
Okay, we'll get to you, Rogie.
Sergei Makarov, Pat Quinn. Pat Quinn might be right where he should be. He's 09, I believe it was. He was still in Edmonton, right? So he hung around for a little longer. Eric Lindros is one of the biggest names, if nothing else, in the NHL's history. He's always been very polarizing, right? There was the whole thing, I'm not going to play junior in the Sioux. When he got drafted by Quebec, I'm not going to go play there. Kind of picking his spots, and he was not always a very popular guy. But for a couple of years, which is another whole thing with the NHL, Freudian slip, I guess, the Hockey Hall of Fame versus the NHL Hall of Fame. Longevity, should it weigh into it? And if so, to what degree? Should Eric Lindros have had to wait 6 years?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to Sergei Makarov.
No. And to me, the thing is, I throw that out there. He's very polarizing. Did you say that already?
I did.
Yeah.
But it's a good word. It's fun. Well, how often do we get to use it?
I was actually, while you were talking, I was looking at Rogie Vachon's stats, right?
Said no one ever.
Yeah, well, no. Said somebody on a Hall of Fame podcast going, why the fuck is Rogie Vachon in the Hall of Fame? But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Because surely there's got to be stats somewhere.
One would think.
No. So interesting. For a 5-year period, I don't know if there's been a more dominant player than Eric Lindros.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about it a little bit in terms of he was never as skilled as Gretzky, right?
Well, you know what? The point that came up, and it, to me, it's a very interesting one, right? In terms of what he brang, right? Gretzky, super skilled, right?
Yeah.
And really, he was never the fastest skater. He was never the hardest shooter, right? But he just had uncanny abilities to put the puck in a bunch of spots, spot guys, great vision, hockey IQ off the charts before people really talked a lot about hockey IQ. Right. But skinny, not an athletic specimen, right? The evolution to Mario with his big body and his and more skilled than Gretz, right? In terms of a one-on-one type player and great hands.
Well,
and
that's interesting. More skilled, but I know what you're saying, but Gretz is pretty skilled.
No. Well, what Gretz had was uncanny ability, right?
Yeah.
In terms of vision and all those things and a knack for the big moment. And you can't dispute his totals, right? 1,000 points above and beyond. But Lemieux, in terms of being the big man with the soft hands, all that sort of stuff, but never used the physical side of the game. He'd lean on you. He'd hold the puck out. He would do all that stuff. But Lindros, while likely never as skilled as either one of those guys, brought a huge physical element to the game where he did have soft hands. He would punish you. He would go around.
Yeah, he would take those soft hands and smash them into your face over.
Yeah, but usually in gloves and with a high hit.
Yeah, okay.
But in terms of he was unbelievable, right? In terms of what he could do, and he was groundbreaking.
Yeah, and it's to me, he's one of those guys where he is probably the best argument, maybe Bobby Orr, for what does longevity mean?
Right.
As you've said, for 3, 4, 5 years, yeah, you might have been able to say, for at least 2 or 3 years, there was no one better in the game than Lindros. Well, when you put all those things together, right? Lemieux was kind of either already on hiatus or, you know, going through some back issues.
Yager was the comparison there.
Yeah, okay. And he was also very physical at the time and big body, big trunk legs
and ass and just get the legs out wide and glide and
you're right.
And
that is
the puck.
He is the guy that would have been most closely probably compared, if not for a couple years there, even John LeClair. Right?
And head to head, Yager, and in terms of Yager was putting up huge points and continued to, but they were sort of stars together at the same time, right? We looked at him and went, Yager, could he ever break Gretzky's totals? Just in terms of the consistency with which he was putting
fucking
up big numbers.
Playing.
Yeah, and he's still playing now. And
crazy
had, what,
bastard.
25 or 26 goals last year?
Yeah. But, I mean, that to think of the talent that he was bringing and the fact that he would, you know, put you through the boards
if he had to.
Yeah,
crush
like
guys.
Just a big, strong. He was the, you know, epitome, right? He was... This is what it can be. This is what we're looking for. And you start to look at, for the next how many years did teams spend trying to, well, we'll draft a big guy and hope he becomes skilled.
Wait till we get there. I'm not sure if you remember Albertville, right? I think that's a 92 Winter Olympics, I think. Lindros is there as an 18-year-old.
Oh, Albertville. Yeah, okay.
And him just crushing a Czech player, honestly, it popped the screws right out of his helmet, his Joe Fat helmet, I think, right? Just and this is an 18-year-old, against Min, right? And him just stepping up and just blasting this Czech player, right? And you think, wow,
future Canadian star.
Peter Nedved. this is what we're talking about, right? And just in terms of what he brought, And you know what? I think part of not just longevity. I think he ruined the game in the 90s.
Well, and that was an interesting That's an interesting theory. Like, and I think it's sort of where I was going, but why don't you take it and
just provocative. Because to me, yeah, well, and you started down that road was he was so big, so strong, so skilled, right? That's the way everyone said, that's what we got to do. We need another big man. We need somebody to counteract this. We need, and so everyone went out and drafted guys like Jason Strudwick.
Right.
Right. And you're like, what? He's a big body. That's it. Right. And then you had the league in the 90s was full of these guys, big bodies, ignoring talent. Guys like Martin St. Louis, Hobie Baker winner, had to walk on in Calgary. Right. Nobody wanted small skill guys.
Right.
They were just drafting on size because.
Well, that was it. Instead of drafting on talent and hoping this guy's going to fill out, which is kind of what happens now, right, in terms of he'll put on some muscle, he'll put on. They just drafted big guys and hope we can teach them hockey.
Right. Like, there are no. And all I'm saying is, and it's an unfair thing to put on Lindros because it's really he's what he is.
Yeah.
It's the trend that it sets to the rest of the league.
He didn't ruin the game.
Well, okay.
Teams trying to find another him ruined the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so because he is such a freak, really, right? In terms of there are no other Lindroses out there.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
Ever. Like, have we seen one since him?
No, not
like, who's the closest? Like, I know I'm springing this on you right now. He's not as big, but, like, would Ovechkin be the closest? Just as, like, very physical, hell of a shot.
Nowhere near. Like, Ovechkin plays
at is he the closest?
Like, yeah, okay, yeah. And you know what? And I balked at it immediately, but he likes to hit. He plays at speed.
Yeah.
He scores a pile of goals, and really, he's going to surpass, or if he hasn't already, every one of Lindros's points.
Sure, yeah. And that's a health thing as much.
And he's never going to win a cup, also like Lindros. But, yeah, no, in terms of, yeah, people drafting.
Maybe Peter Forsberg at the time. He wasn't as big, but he was just as physical.
Well,
right?
I loved Peter Forsberg in his prime, right?
Yeah.
Because he was tenacious,
yep.
Right? And he was...
Till his club foot took him.
Yeah, well, exactly. But by that time, he'd already won a couple of cups,
yeah.
Right? But
came in exchange for Lindros.
I was going to say, very interesting to see that those two will be forever tied, right?
Yeah.
In that big trade, right? And that is... Lindros helped... Quebec/Colorado win a Stanley Cup.
So why don't we circle back around to where we started this one? What should he have had to wait 6 years? You said yes. Why should he have had to wait 6 years? And is longevity, should it matter?
Longevity in cups, right?
Okay.
If you ask me, is he a Hall of Famer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's absolutely a Hall of Famer. If you are the most dominant player in your generation...
There's something in my mind that at least to a certain degree goes, if you were the most dominating player for 1 year, you're worth a look. He was more than 1 year, but...
Really? Patrick Kane? Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll see where he finishes up. He's got three cups.
And a...
Buttload of points.
Yeah, a scoring trophy from last year.
And, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't think that was a very good example.
You suck!
Still, again.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no, I suck again. Yeah, well, all right.
So you've got him as a Hall of Famer, but he's waiting based on the no cups.
Right, not being able to stay healthy long enough, right? Like
So Bobby Orr is the immediate name that comes to mind. How much longer really was his?
I think it's the Oshawa Water.
It's killing guys.
couple generals there, having all kinds of health issues.
I mean, Bobby comes in 67, 68 is his rookie season.
I mean, done by mid-70s.
Yeah, well, he's not playing in the 72 series.
Yeah, and 76, he's there, but he's on totally wonky knees.
Sucks in terms of how Bobby Orr can suck.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But, no, for sure.
So, less than a decade.
Yeah, know. Well, and to me...
Bobby revolutionized that position, changed it. I don't think you could say necessarily that Lindros but he certainly changed the game
because nobody's going out and saying, we need to find a bunch of crazy ass, smooth, fast skating demon who can control the game.
More people should say that.
Well, yeah, but you're not just drafting those guys from anywhere, right? So to me, it's not the same as going, hey,
you're not drafted Strudwick and trying to turn him into that.
We need somebody who's 6'3 and 240 and can skate like the wind, right? It's okay. Well, he doesn't skate that great, but we can teach him to skate better.
Right.
But he's 6'3, 250. Get that guy. And so big bodies.
I am available, folks.
He's got to drop a couple, but he's available.
I don't know. I don't skate like the wind, I can tell you that.
No, I just meant to get down to 250. Yeah,
Oh, look at this fucking guy.
All right.
No. So, where do we want to go next in the...
You know what? You asked me an interesting question, and I said, well, we'll just hold on to that. We'll wait a bit. And you asked me, you said, did you ever see him as a bully?
Yeah, okay. So still on Lindros.
Still on Lindros.
Was he a dirty player?
Dirty player.
Yeah.
All right. And I said...
He was a bully.
He was a bully, right?
Bully!
Bully for you! And the thing is, I think we all have that bias, and you brought up the whole Sue thing, and we were talking with the story. I love to see that him taking that ass beating at the end of that Sue-Oshawa series.
Right.
But he was a guy who played hard hockey, and he had no regard, for other players of smaller size.
Right.
He never let up on anybody. And I think if it was somebody else or in other instances, people say, yeah, that's hard hockey. We love hard hockey, right? From the tips to the whistle to the buzzer, whatever cliche you want to use, right? In a lot of guys, you say, yeah, that's how we like, right? But, man, for a guy who was so dominant physically, right, he would just run whoever, right? And little guys, small guys. And you know, the examples I always think of is and seeing them here is – Andreas Dackel, small guy. Lindros just ramming him into the boards, high hit, his hands up high, smoking his head into the glass.
Right.
And just, like, that's just, you know, you can't suspend somebody in hindsight, but that's a suspendable play now, right? A high hit, hands up high by the head. And there's no need when he can just run through it. Him smoking Magnus Arvidsson here in Ottawa into the open boards. I mean, open door at the bench. Those sorts of things. Clean, but sometimes you got to say, you know, we get it.
Yeah, which you've alluded to, you can't kind of go back in time. Scott Stephens hasn't thrown a clean hit in 2016, right?
Well, and that's the thing, right? Is a lot of his hits, right? That best hit I ever saw was that Wendell Clark hit on Bruce Bell or whoever that was for the St. Louis Blues coming around behind
the net.
Funny,
you can't remember his name and neither can he.
Right, but those are not clean hits now. And no one's judging anybody
now. For me, it might
be
Stevens on Francis. It was maybe the best hit I ever knocked him fucking loopy, man.
How about Luke Richardson on Tony Granato?
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Hit us up with your favorite hits and YouTube links
Chris
if you got
Neal,
it.
How about Chris Neal on Johnny Boychuk? Check that out.
How about Darcy Tucker on Daniel Alfredson?
how about Daniel Alfredson on Darcy Tucker? Yeah.
At Tall Can Sports, hit us with your best hits. YouTube links, if you got them, we'll share them.
And as I said to you, to me, it's so. And listening to Lindros now, and he's back, and he's in the news with the Hall of Fame,
right?
Imminent, and him saying, yeah, you know what? Never the same player after the hit, right? I took that massive hit.
Yeah, came back too early, took another massive fucking hit,
and was never the same after that, right? And to me, it's so ironic.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
A little too.
Yeah, sorry, we should all step away from when we're full. Stop eating when you're full, Matt. That's how that goes.
Never. Never.
Is there food on my plate? No.
Then I'm not full.
See, exactly.
What's it going to be like this?
Well, it's the same Milanis tune. That's all I'm stop eating when you're full up.
That's not an Milanis tune.
It is. It's in the same ironic song. It is indeed, man. Come on. I'm not just throwing you under the bus here.
That would be unusual.
Yeah, that never happens.
All right.
Yeah, but it's ironic. Totally ironic, right? And it's sweet and it's bitter, right? And you go, live by the sword.
Yeah.
Die by the sword.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And so I was at a dinner party last night. Makes it sound fancy.
La-ti-da.
Fancy. And they were talking about that. Well, you know, he's still in the top 20 in points per game. I'm like, yeah, well, points per game speaks to a short career, right? Yep. Like, you look at Gretz, what do you have? What do you have, 4 goals in his last season and 25 assists, right? Like 30 points for a guy who had 205 straight seasons. Most times, guys just hang on too long. Right?
That's true. That's absolutely true. But I just think there's something to, and I don't know. That's kind of a waffling answer to me. I guess
strong opinions, Matt.
Okay, but to me, guess if you said, is Eric Lindros, based on his prime, a first ballot Hall of Famer? To me, yes, he is. Now he played longer than his prime. Now his prime.
So then,
why
do you think? Why do you think he has to wait 6 years?
He was a douchebag, and nobody liked him. The Hockey Hall of Fame is the least transparent sports organization you will ever find. I might pull that back in. But they are extremely closed doors.
Sepp Blatter says.
Right, exactly. the IOC says.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
There's a bunch of things.
Right. But they don't answer to anybody. They don't talk about the process. They don't want to, it's just an old boys club. They go, yeah, no, fuck you. You're not. You upset my buddy one time, and we're not. Or you ended my buddy's career one time.
Yeah. Well, that's probably more like it.
Right. And so I get that longevity absolutely has to be a part of it, but if you're going to tell me that Dino Cicerelli is a Hall of Famer, Eric Lindros is a Hall of Famer faster, right? Though that's sort of the type of, and I don't mean to just Dick Duff. Come on, like these
Clark
are the,
Gillies,
right? These are the sorts of names where you go.
How about Bernie Federko?
How does Eric Lindros, A, not get in with them, and B, not get in ahead of them? To make him wait 6 years for me.
What was the first name you said?
Dino Cicerelli.
Dino Cicerelli. What's your...
I don't have a beef. I don't think he's...
Ciccarelli has like 700 goals.
I just don't see him as...
Man, you don't leave too many 700 goals.
That's true.
Guy's not named Dave Hanrichuk. You don't leave too many guys with that many goals.
No, but again, that's... To me... And I think we've had this conversation before. I don't know if it was on the air or not. The name I go to in terms of, look at all the fucking points Mark Recchi put up. But he did it over like 30 years.
I think I can hear, whoopity-doo! Right? But he won cups with different teams. What?
Okay, and the thing that I've asked you before is, was Mark Recchi ever, forget the cup winning teams, he ever the best player on his own team?
He was not. Let alone a generational talent.
And so if you can't ever say he was the best on his own team, unless you're on like the 77 Habs or whatever the fuck, a little earlier probably, you don't belong in the Hall of Fame.
77 Habs, yeah. Totally.
Like, to me, he had Mario or he had whoever, right? Like there was all Crosby or Carolina, who was on that fucking team that would have been better? Eric Staal would have been better than him at the time. Eric Lindros was not just the best player on his team. He might have been, if generations were shorter, the best player in the league for...
Well, see, and nobody... Well, okay, I shouldn't say that because there's been a couple recently, right, where you talk about...
nobody except these guys.
Hype talent,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And to me, you hear so much that this guy, you can't... Lindros, and then maybe till Crosby.
Yeah.
Has there been anybody who's... been nearly as hyped, right?
Maybe LeCavalier.
How about Alexander Daigle?
Well, that wasn't... Well, I guess it was just after.
It was just after?
Just after, yeah.
And he was... Man, there was talk of a couple of different teams, and I can't remember who it was. It was Ottawa and somebody else who was in the mix of tanking because they absolutely wanted Daigle, right?
Was it not like Anaheim or something?
And he was ripping it up playing for Victoriaville. Right. He was killing it in the queue. And, man, what a bust. And so, but just in terms of guys who you go, whoop, hyped. Yeah, and away it goes, right?
Yeah.
And you just look at it and go, yeah, Crosby? Probably the next guy in between.
Well, again, I would circle back to LeCavalier's getting a ton of hype as being the next. And he, you know, would go on, have some big years and win a cup. He wouldn't be Crosby.
He was never the Gretzky of the South, or whatever his owner called him.
But
yeah, and I remember, him coming out of Rimouski but I don't ever remember
something in the water in Rimouski too.
Yeah, somebody saying, "Oh, he's going to be blank." There was a
going to be the man who walks
back. Yeah. So to me, Yeah, I think the very fact that his career was so short, like they said, he played 13 seasons, but only less than 800 games, right?
Yeah.
Right?
At 82, what fucking year? You should be up much higher than that.
Well, this is it, right? And so you're missing 5 seasons worth of hockey.
Yeah. So that's an interesting one. Let us know what you think.
Well, and he's 42 now, and he's been retired for what?
Well, did you see, and in one of these interviews around the Hall of Fame, he said that Paul Holmgren in Philly asked him in 2012, would you consider coming back?
Ooh, no, I didn't see that.
I think he retired around 09, 08, because he'd been in Toronto for a year or two after the lockout. Then he was off to Dallas, I believe it was. You know, he hung around for a bit.
He retired in 09?
Maybe.
Think about that. That's 17 years after his draft year. Man, how much?
I think it might have been a little earlier than
okay,
that.
Okay, but still.
Yeah.
Still for a guy of that talent level?
Yeah.
Anyways, I think if for no other reason, he's a Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. check. He's going to get his just desserts, all that stuff. But man, you look at what could have been.
Right.
Like no cups, short career.
Yeah.
You got to wait.
Okay.
That's why you get caught up in the cattle call that is the 2016 Hall of Fame announcement.
Yeah, fuck. So let's get to that. We got 3 other names on this ballot or this class that went in. We got Makarov. We've got Rogi Vachon. We've got Pat Quinn. Where do you want to go next?
Well, see, to me,
none of them are as intriguing as.
Well, and to me, have you looked at all at Rogi Vachon's stats?
Yeah,
we can be quick on this.
Yep.
What is he getting in on?
Okay, that's funny to me because I initially looked at that name and went, come on, really? But when you look at the Canada Cup, you got is it not 3 Stanley Cups?
Yeah, but as a backup to Ken Dryden, you're right.
I don't.
Yeah, 70s Canadians you're talking about?
Yeah, but didn't Dryden retire in like 74?
No, Dryden retired in
like 80. He had a short career. 80?
Yeah.
Dryden had a short
Rogi
career.
Rogi Vachon was not the starter on any Habs Cup winning team at all.
Hmm. Then he's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, this is it. And is
would he be the first backup goalie ever to?
Well, and I see he's got a bunch of seasons of 28 and 30 wins.
No, he started and won the 76 Canada Cup.
All right. Because nobody else was available?
What Christ. Do you think his starter might have been?
Like Mike Liut wasn't available, or what was the deal?
Well, it's a 12-team NHL at that point.
Yeah, okay.
12 starters aren't available.
He's got bad 70s hair, Vachon. Too, man, and he's French.
Still. So you,
I don't know.
You,
I, don't not wa- have, I do not have. Where's
long time.
Where's Red Light Rassico? Where's he, man? Where Steve Penny? Where are these guys? Why don't where
give Peter Ng a shot? At least he started.
This is it. Honestly, Alan Bester.
I think we're doing a tremendous disservice to Rogi Vachon, but we're going to allow that to happen because he was a Hab.
Okay, yeah, and a King, and he went and he dealt it. Now the Kings were middling at best in the '80s.
Yeah.
Right till Gretzky showed up there.
Yep.
You know, the only place that people went to hide out from loan sharks and gangsters, right? Go to the Forum to watch a Kings game. No one's going to find you there.
You remember the name of the guy who started the Kings? Something Cole King.
You were going to say Nat King.
Yeah, I was. That's not going to be right.
No. Ooh, that's an error.
But he said that he was involved in the Kings ownership when they started the team. And he goes, man, there's something like such and such number of Canadians down here. This is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
He goes, I found out after I set up the team that they're all down here because they hate hockey.
Yeah, exactly. We hate this. Yeah. And there's only so many Alan Thicks and John Candies
right.
hanging around Los Angeles. Yeah.
Sorry, Makarov.
Sorry, Rogi.
You're out.
You're out.
You stink. You're in the Hall of Kind of Good.
You're in the Clark Gillies Hall of Average. Makarov. Now, you know what? And clearly to me...
Well, the numbers you were singing out before we did this show were interesting to me. Because the Russians, they're always an interest, like Tretiak to me.
Well, and he's in that cusp, that Sergei Priyakin, you know, that first.
You're not talking about Tretiak, you're talking about.
No, Sergei Priyakin.
No, okay.
But no, I'm talking about the first wave of.
Yes, okay.
Of Soviets who came into the NHL.
Right. Right?
Early 90s. Makarov in 92 with Calgary.
My point was just going to be simply that. Tretiak gets in on his international career. We never saw him against NHL competition, right?
He was drafted by Chicago, I believe, eh?
I think that's right. Makarov leads the Russian league for several years in scoring, is an international killer.
And you see where he started playing? His Soviet career?
Omsk?
No. Omsk is in Sweden.
No, it is not.
Is Omsk not part of the Swedish Elite League? Up in the north?
Omsk is absolutely in Russia. Okay. I don't know what league they play in, but Russia.
Then he'd be in the Soviet League. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. No, he started playing for Chelyabinsk.
Our favorite.
Yeah, of course it is. And then
Ufa, then, Omsk, then, and Chelyabinsk.
Yeah, then CSKA Moscow, right?
Yeah, whatever. They're no fun.
No, but Chelyabinsk, because he's from Chelyabinsk.
Okay. Aren't we all?
Yeah. Nah, and he tore it up, right? A couple World Junior golds, right?
Right.
Right into a couple of Olympic golds, Canada Cup gold. He was part of that vaunted KLM line. KLM is going to rock you. Come on, anybody? Anybody?
No.
No, okay.
Absolutely not.
Khrushchev, Larionov, Makarov, right? In terms of with Kasatonov and Fetisov, right?
Yep.
The green line, right? In terms of that.
And so it's interesting because he is a guy, unlike Tretiak, where you can hold up his numbers even later in his career against other NHL. And while he is maybe not a top 10 NHL player ever, you get to look at him and go, okay, but he didn't look out of place here, right? Like he didn't, and he came later.
I rhymed some of those stats off.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
In the early to mid 90s, between 70 to 90 points, probably in 4 or 5 seasons.
Right.
As an older guy.
And at the early part of that decade, you're looking at, it might have been the 88 Olympics in Calgary. Maybe it's the World Championship. I can't.
Gold medal in Calgary.
Right. So on that top line is still the remnants, at least, of the KL. He's playing at a high level and lead. And on their fourth line is that same World Junior line that we would eventually see of Bure, McGillney, and
maybe that was in 88?
It might have been. That's why I'm thinking it was the 90 World Championships.
Well, because I'm thinking Bure, McGillney, Fedorov, right? Is that what you're talking about?
I believe, yeah. And so that's 90 or 91, maybe.
Well, because they defected at least one of them. McGillney maybe in Alaska World Juniors, which would have been 89, 90, 91.
Right.
Somewhere right in that neck of the woods.
So that's the point that was kind of being made in the article I was reading, is he's already the first wave who's crossed, and he's got these kids behind him, right, that are... We're going to play on this same team, and they're going to follow his...
Man, if you haven't seen Red Army...
And I have. It's pretty good. Is that the one about Fetisov?
That's the Fetisov.
Yeah, that
story.
Was very good. It's on Netflix Canada. You should check that out if you haven't. It's fantastic.
And it gives you a real... honestly, and Fetisov, he comes across as dick and good guy. It's really it's a hard line of walk, and I've tried and never succeeded.
All right.
But just in terms of people who make stands that are societal changing, right? Fetisov, right? In that system and how he refused to come. Anyways, neither here nor there. Makarov clearly getting in on his Soviet.
International.
And as the Hockey Hall of Fame, which is not the IAHF Hall of Fame.
Clearly, or the NHL Hall of Fame.
Right, it's really more the NHL Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, it
shouldn't be.
And I'm going to ask you about that at the end of this.
They call it the Hockey Hall of Fame, but really.
Yeah.
But to me, he's an interesting choice.
Another guy who's 21 years, I think it is, late.
Yeah, well.
Based on retirement.
And they changed, and I'm not sure, and you can maybe help me out here, and if you've seen or read something different. I think they changed the rules of the Calder Trophy.
Yes.
On Makarov, because he was like a 32-year-old rookie.
Yeah, I think he was 29 and came over and won Rookie of the Year. And they went, okay, that's awesome. Good for you, bud. Make sure that never happens again.
he had 86 points as a rookie or whatever it was, right? But he was also 30.
Yeah.
You got three kids and you're get out of here.
Could be in the league in 4 years.
Right. Yeah. So I know they changed the rules. So it was on him, right?
Yep. That's right.
All right, see, there you go. Game-changing as well. Sergei Makarov.
Pat Quinn. I don't think anyone believes Pat Quinn makes the Hall of Fame on his playing career.
No, but he's not in as a player, though.
Nope.
He's in as a coach or builder or whatever it is. What are they going in as?
I think even coaches have to go in under builders, don't
right,
they?
Right, that's what I thought.
An interesting career as a player. Big rough and tumble guy. Hamilton, Ontario.
Mainly for the Flyers. Partially dried cement.
Right. Ends up with a couple of pretty good teams in Vancouver. Rebuilds that franchise into something that goes to the Cup final and within one game of winning it all in 94, but doesn't.
But rioting ensued.
Yeah, well, he might have been out there flipping over cars by himself. Crazy fucking guy.
Vancouver people, what's wrong with you?
Would end up in Toronto. Again, rebuilding a franchise that was in complete shambles to at least a point where they made two conference finals under him. And really his fatal mistake there was following the lockout. Richard fucking Petty of MLSE tells him, you will not continue to be coach and GM. You can choose which you're going to be, and then I'm hiring someone else. He chooses coach, which now leaves him fireable by the incoming terrible GM, John Ferguson Jr. He would go on and do some work in Edmonton, which didn't go so well. But he is, interestingly, the only coach for any country who has ever been able to win an under-18 world championship, a world junior championship, and an Olympic gold medal, which is fascinating when you think of the type of coach he is and how people talk about how you have to treat young players now. There was never anyone any more old school. And so not only is in 02 he able to break that 50-year-old curse for Canadian hockey and win an Olympic gold medal, but we're talking about 2008 where he's winning and coaching an 08 under-18 championship and a World Junior Championship at the 2009 tournament here in Ottawa. So extremely unique in terms of a guy that I don't think most people ever thought that would be a fit for, but really just showed his flexibility, right, and what he was able to do in terms of bouncing back and forth between NHL. I think you would call it success, but certainly not maybe Hall of Fame success, right? That's tough when you never win a cup. But what he did internationally has never been done before, right? Those three levels, right?
If Pat Quinn is American and coaching and having great NCAA success and working with their national team development pool, he's never, ever making it into the Hall of Fame. Not on his National Hockey League career. So you're going to hang it on his very thin international career?
I'm not hanging anything. I think you're wrong. Is Herb Brooks in the Hall of Fame? Yes, Herb Brooks is in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
If he wins as a coach,
is he
an under-18, okay, a world junior, and an Olympic gold?
So we're gonna talk about Herb Brooks then in terms of, you want to debate Herb Brooks?
I'm just saying the precedent.
Is Herb Brooks getting
set
in? He's getting in on 80 Lake Placid, right?
Yeah.
Man, now is that whole 80 team in the Hall of Fame?
Probably not.
Okay.
My boy Mike Ruzioni.
Yeah, okay, but if you're gonna put that whole 72 team in.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was a dumb idea.
That's a dumb idea for sure. And so to me, there's a bunch of those in the Hall of Fame. Right? To me, Pat Quinn, not a Hall of Famer.
Okay. Well, that's...
To me, that's a Canadian thing. If he's not Canadian, we don't get him in.
Here's why Pat Quinn is in the Hall of Fame. Up until like the fucking day before he died, he was running the thing. He was the chairman of their board.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. I was waiting for your blue goggles to get on here, and you were going to slam me with his... Because you know what?
No, look, I don't think there's any question that he was a reasonably successful manager or coach. He's not Scotty Bowman. He's not...
Al Arbor.
Right. These sorts of Hall of Fame coaches, I'll give you that all day. But I...
He's not even Mike Babcock.
Interesting. Probably not.
Okay. And you know what? It's a travesty that Pat Burns has to wait and wait and wait to get in, but then Quinn's in. Boom.
That's what I mentioned earlier on in terms of the, like, think, I really like Pat Quinn. There's my blue goggles or whatever.
Yeah.
Is he a Hall of Fame? Is Matt Sundin in the Hall of Fame? Like, these are the sorts of, yeah, again, is he getting in on that thin international career, which is probably only made up of 50, 60 games at most?
Of his... What is it? 06.
Yep.
Olympics.
Captaining that. Yeah.
Because but you can't turn away from Sundin's 1,400 points.
Right. But it's just an interesting kind of 1,400 points. Fuck.
I think he has 1,400 points.
It's just all of them to Sergei Berezin or Danny Markov in
Jonas Hoagland
games. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, but, yeah, no, okay.
Actually, I might have just made his case a little better for him.
Well, this is it.
Guy's clearly a Hall of Famer.
And I don't think anybody scores 1,400 points. And we just that's the recce factor too, right?
Yeah.
Only recce's won. Sundin hasn't.
Yep. Well, Sundin never got to be on the second line like Recce and
yeah, all right.
It's interesting.
But Recce's winning with Pittsburgh, with Boston, and who else in between?
Carolina.
Yeah. So anytime, that's that whole Joe Neuwendijk thing.
Yep.
Right?
Well, that's a good example.
If you're winning multiple cups with multiple teams, man, and have the points to back it up, I don't care if you played 100 years. Because you know what? Gordie Howe, if he didn't play 50 years, he doesn't have 1,800 points.
No.
I think Gordie Howe is a plugger.
Wow, that's provocative. We don't have time to cover that all.
All right. Anyways.
Gordie Howe is Chris Neal over 50 years.
This is it. Thank you very much. He's probably more Scott Mellenby, but that's okay. Rod the Bod, Brindamore. We'll give him that.
Give me Rod over Gordy all day.
All right. See, there we go. More provocative talk.
And I think I'm going to name this episode Give Me Rod.
Give Me Rod. All right.
In terms of this Hall of Fame, yeah.
Sorry. Where do I go in this lateral move?
In terms of the Hall of Fame, I've heard a lot of talk because this is the first year in a couple that there's no women going in.
Thank God.
A little bit. Okay, that probably dictates where the rest of this goes. In terms of IIHF and what that consideration should look like, there are some people talking that for the next little while, maybe you should mandate one woman per year till you're caught up.
You know what? Mandate women go in on merit. How about that?
Yeah, and I've heard talk that maybe there should be a separate committee of women looking at the women. I think you need to look at the possibility of having a woman or two on this. I don't think you can have a separate committee that says this year this is the woman. I think you can trust a Cassie Campbell or a Cammy Granato or an Angela James to look at whoever you might be looking at, you know, who might Tessa Benham, right? This year she's up against Rogi Vachon, Eric Lindros, and that other fucking Sergei Makarov. Is she getting in? Yeah. Next year it's this, you know, player versus you can have it all as one conversation, don't you think? Like it shouldn't be a set. If I'm getting in next year as the one mandated woman, does that not take away from the honor of it or the?
And you know what? I clearly I'm big on, women being seen as just athletes, right? Judging the whole thing.
What I'm saying.
I know you are. What I'm saying is you're talking about women's hockey being dominated by two countries. And I think the sport as a whole needs to reach new depths before it can be seen in the same fashion.
Well, the counter argument would be that when the Hockey Hall of Fame opened, in their first year they inducted 24 players to catch up.
Okay.
The second year they inducted 18 a long fucking time ago.
Yeah.
They're catching up, right? And so the counter argument would be that you now need to catch up on women.
So I don't think any woman would want to have
Somebody be
mandated in.
And I don't think they want it based on a separate committee. Now, it's two guys sitting here saying this, right? I think
okay, but how about
you want
Haley
one or two women. Well, not there yet, but yeah, no, that but would be the next obvious choice.
Okay, but when she goes and you say, look at what she's done.
Yeah.
Her body of work stands alone.
Right.
Right, and she will get in on her merit.
Right.
Compared to anybody else.
But do you not think at that point, rather than having a separate committee, is it probably not at the point, because who's qualified in this current fucking dinosaur age of people running the Hall of Fame to judge women's hockey? Maybe Eric Dehatchik.
Oof.
Okay, but that might be the only guy paying enough attention.
Yeah, okay.
Who's qualified enough to judge IIHF careers? Really, we don't even look at that anymore because Well, if they didn't make it in the NHL, then who gives a shit, right?
And this is it, right?
That's why they've had to go back and go, that wasn't always the case, but it probably is now. There's no one in the KHL who's torching it to such a degree that you go, yeah, they'd be top five in the NHL this year.
Yeah, no, that's been 25 years since that's been the case.
Right. But to me, I think you got to start with a woman or two on the committee and trusting that they watch enough hockey also to go, yeah, you know what? Haley Wickenheiser wasn't as good as Alex Ovechkin. So she's waiting a year, if that's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, yeah. And to me, that's what I want to see. I want to see. Now, you know what? Your point is valid, right?
I crave validation.
Yeah, everyone does. that they do have a little catching up to do, right? Not recognized when the first one goes in. Yeah, you know, the amount of people that they have to catch up with, but I think you do that over time. I don't think there's a whole lot of overlooked women, maybe not outside of the builder category.
Right. Yeah, you got to figure we're missing a couple there.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? That will rise. That sport in terms of, you know, I think of the first women's world championship. You know, it was here in Ottawa. And the Canadian women were wearing pink.
Ugh.
Right? That's not even 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to let it grow. You got to let it breathe. I don't think we're that far behind, right, outside of the builders category. Yeah. So to me, yeah, no, I don't go in for that.
Anything else on the Hall of Fame?
Hall of good. Hall of
very good.
Right? And I think, and you alluded to the question a couple times earlier, right? I think they need to figure out National Hockey League Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
International Ice Hockey Hall of Fame.
The IIHF does have their own because I think at some
point. Well, it's okay. You and I briefly touched on it before the show, right?
Yeah.
They have 100 years of the IIHF.
Yeah, if you remember back to whatever year it was where Canada hosted the 100th IIHF World Championship.
2012, right around there. It was in Quebec City and Halifax,
yep,
right?
That's right, yep.
Yeah, so they named their centennial team, right? And it's not news to you. You and I went over it, and I asked you, and you did very well. You named,
rhymed off some Russians.
Yeah, four of the six starters, right? Yeah. So for any of you who don't know, right, Tretiak in goal, Fetisov and Boreas Salming on D. You had Harlamov, Makarov.
And Gretzky,
right? And so we all go, okay, that's a great team. Hey man, we're the best hockey playing nation in the world. We only have one guy on that list. Yeah. The Russians have four. Well, because it's international career. And then you say, well, how does Gretzky get in? Does he get in on his one world junior and his Canada Cups and his
doing nothing in 98 Olympics?
Well, yeah, Mark Crawford leaving him on the bench in the shootout.
Taking a great picture after losing the shootout. Yeah.
So to me, yeah, which is it? The fine divide.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Gretzky was killer in those, especially that 87 Canada Cup.
Right.
Right? But he was also on that 95 team that.
Whoops. 96 team. Yeah.
And so.
Not so good.
Yeah. Or 98.
Not
right?
so good.
Yeah. And so you just sort of look at the whole thing and go, what? I don't know, man. How does he get on that?
Yeah.
Right? So they need to figure that out. And I would like to see the Hockey Hall of Fame tighten up its standards.
Yeah, and it is probably the weakest. Like, baseball Hall of Fame to me is by far the tightest. I don't know much about the NBA Hall or the NFL, excuse me, Hall of Fame.
Right.
Obviously, I'm probably not any better on the NBA Hall of Fame, but
I didn't even know they had one.
Baseball has probably the strictest and the best policy, right? If you sit on the ballot for 10 years and you don't get in, you're done.
That's how it
should be.
Rogi Vachon, we're looking right at you.
Yeah, you're out, bud.
Like, you're out, bud.
You were out in 1990.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know what? It's the Hall of Good. Hall of Very Good. I'll go with that. But tighten it up, and what are you going to do? I don't want to see. Are you the NHL Hall of Fame?
Yes. With some girls.
Okay. All right. Then get rid of. I don't want to hear anybody say, yeah, that you're going to get in on your on the strength. Because Daniel Alfredson, you getting in on the strength of your international career? No, you're not a Hall of Famer, man.
Got the same Olympic gold that Matt Sundin did and racked up a ton of points.
Only 1,100 points, though.
Yeah.
Played in one more cup final, though.
It's true.
Anyways, Hall of very good. Sundin Hall of very good.
If he'd have stayed in Quebec when they moved to Colorado.
Yeah. Too bad.
Yeah. Him playing with Sakic and Forsberg and Kamensky and Lemieux.
Curtis Lechishin. Don't forget that
guy. Sure, obviously. How do you forget Curtis Lechishin?
I think Lechishin was a first overall pick.
I think he was also a former senator. That's why you remember.
No, I remember him being a first overall pick because I remember they had that sweep of Lechishin, Nolan, Sakic, Sundin. There were all these.
Yeah, they were building up all right. Well, could have had Lindros.
Yeah, well, did.
You think if he stays there and there's...
You're trying to wrap this bad boy up.
A little bit. But
you're going to open up a whole can of whoop-ass here.
I'm trying to remember everything else that came with Forsberg. Like, I think we
can... Hextall, Ricci.
Yeah, Hextall was gone. Ricci was still there when they won the cup, I mean.
Okay.
So do they still win it without him? Like, a lot of people say that's the trade that set them up to win the cup.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So, but I think we agree that Lindros in place of Forsberg... They're still winning that cup. It's everything else that came with it, right?
Right, and the picks and the money and all that sort of stuff, right?
Ron Hextall would not
still be. And let's also not look past the trade of Jocelyn Thibault for Patrick Waugh.
It's a great deal for one side. You people can decide for yourselves who may have won
that. Waugh and Mike Keane going out to Colorado, and Thibault, Kaminsky, and...
No, Kaminsky stayed.
Kaminsky did not come in that trade?
No. Kamensky was out there when they won the 96 Cup.
Well, is it possible he went back?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, but because honestly,
Yeah.
That's a debate for a different
sure
show.
Sure it is.
When we both have an idea of what we're talking about.
But, that'll be the first show, that's the case.
Yeah. All right. Good point.
All right. Why don't we wrap this one up? That's Tall Can Sports on the Hall of Fame.
Boots!
Hall of Very Good.
It's a hall of very good.
See ya.
I need more Rod.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.